is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
You're listening to Talkin' Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Here's how you can become a talking head. Brought to you by BTC.
From what here you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone crocus bag a thing now. Makes true me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now. No matter how hard them a spike me. Me just a go and do me thing now.
Talking Heads with Monty is brought to you by Burger King, the Cancer Treatment Centers of America, the Cleveland Clinic, Fine Threads, Janae's Uniform Center, John's Department Store, Joker's Wild, KFC, Monty Johnny's, Percy's and Games, Prince Masters, and Tropical Gyros.
Here's how you can become a talking head. Brought to you by BTC.
You got it locked and loaded to the Wednesday, July 17th edition of Talking Heads. Your boy Naughty and your company right up until 6 p.m. Got a special guest in studio with me today. We'll be joining that conversation in short order. I got Dr. Marvin Smith with me. So we will have a candid conversation. And I think you know what we're going to be talking about. So that'll be coming up in short order. Here's how you chime in. Obviously, text lines powered by BTC, 422-GR96, 422-4796. Phone lines in New Providence, 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. Toll free in any one of the family islands, 242-300-5720, 242-300-5720. BTC Flow Channel 612, Cable Channel 969. And, of course, stream us live. Take us wherever you want to go, guardiantalkradio.com. That's guardiantalkradio.com. That's how you get it in. That's how you get it off for fresh news, smart talk all day. Right here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Right about now, it's time to check out the headlines. Who are what's making headlines in the 242?
It's time for Headliners. Everything that's making headlines in the 242. Brought to you by the Fine Threads.
And here's what's blazing up the pages of the Nassau Guardian News and Views in Madison since 1844. All brought to you, of course, by Fine Threads. New arrivals in stock right now. Check them out online, finethreads.com. Do your shopping online, then arrange for pickup at any one of those convenient Fine Thread locations. Top of the Hill, Mackey Street, the flagship store, and the Southwest Shopping Plaza. Both locations available for you Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. All right, 200-plus jobs boost from BPL upgrades. Union leader calls for more info from government on workers' future. So that cloud hanging over BPL still is there. We still need answers. Water and Sewerage Corporation wants the Luther residents to brace for water outages. Brace? That's all they've been going through. If I see anything, you know, if any of those videos that I see live out of Luther on social media are true, which they appear to be, they've been going through this for a minute. SIB on ground probing allegations, Fernandez says. Commissioner of Police Clayton Fernandez said yesterday investigators from the Security and Intelligence Branch, SIB, who are probing recordings that allege corruption in the force, are on the ground and speaking with people. Man murdered on Hannah Road. Police said last night that a 50-year-old man was shot and killed on Hannah Road on New Providence. The murder happened sometime after 8 p.m. This was the 65th person murdered in the Bahamas for the year. We got to double-check that count, too, though. That seemed off to me, but I'm going to double-check it. Man acquitted of rape he was alleged to have committed as a teen. All right, so those are the headlines blazing up the front page of the Nassau Guardian. There's so much more. Be sure to grab your copy today. All right, we'll take a quick break, flip side of the break. You know what's coming up, The Buzz, all brought to you, of course, by John Shoes and my special guest, Dr. Marvin Smith. And, of course, we will be talking medical marijuana and the marijuana, the cannabis bill, and the components of the medicinal aspect. We have pharmacists who play a role, and he's going to help you break it down so you know, because you're not allowed to break it down in layman's terms, you know, so everybody knows exactly what's really going on and what we need to improve on, what we think is good, what we think needs to be tweaked, and what we think needs to be added at some point, because I think there's a big component that's missing, especially if you look at one of my favorite models, which I think would be great in this region, the Uruguayan model. But anyway, that's a different story for another day. And I heard that being mentioned in the house today by the former leader. I guess he used to read a comics view too. Thanks a lot, Doc. Appreciate it. You never know, read your column. Quick break, flip side of the break. Got a candid conversation coming up, so keep it right where you got it. The Wednesday, July 17th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Some medical facilities pride themselves on offering multiple services. At Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center, imaging is what we do. Same goes for imaging at Grosvenor. Whether you need an x-ray, mammogram, CAT scan, or ultrasound, we have a team of board-certified radiologists on staff, on site, each with their own area of expertise. Results are submitted to your doctor within 24 hours. Call 328-8157 to schedule an appointment at Fourth Terrace Diagnostic Center or imaging at Grosvenor today.
Living with a neurological condition shouldn't define you. At Cleveland Clinic in Florida, we do whatever it takes to make life better today while discovering new treatments for a brighter tomorrow. From epilepsy management to specialized spine care and brain tumor surgery, we're delivering world-class neurology care for the day-to-day, for the days you live for every care in the world. Visit clevelandclinicflorida.org. /Caribbean.
We are bucket together when everybody out. Fried chicken, we are pre bucket for the crowd. Share a bucket together, everybody go live. Crispy original when we're online.
Bucket together and do the new dance craze.
Hot KFC summer bucket deal. 8 pieces of your favorite fried chicken and 4 buttery biscuits with options to add family fries, a 2-liter switcher, and 4 pineapple biscuits. Starting at $20. KFC, it's finger licking good.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
We're going to give you a check every week for a year.
Percy Fenton Plan, Island Game, keep you winning. Percy Fenton Plan, dream big, we will help you live it. Percy Fenton Plan, Island Game, we got you. Percy Fenton Plan, from the friends you can trust, if winning is a must, go play the game you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game, so put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Game.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
When everybody out, fried chicken, we are free, bucket for the crow. Share a bucket together, everybody go live. Crispy original when we're online.
Bucket together and do the new dance craze.
Hot KFC summer bucket deal. 8 pieces of your favorite fried chicken and 4 buttery biscuits with options to add family fries, a 2-liter switcher, and 4 pineapple biscuits. Starting at $20. KFC, it's finger licking good.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
The kids are going back to school.
So pick up your copy of the Nassar Guardians Back to School Supplement, because
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices, because summer break is almost over, and our Back to School Supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at discounted prices, store locations, hours, and contact details.
It's the happiest season.
Advertisers, call the Nassar Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the 2 insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassar Guardian's back-to-school supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It's time for the buzz. What are you buzzing on? Brought to you by John's Shoes.
From what day you may find out, certain people not like me. Everyone crocus bag a thing now. Makes true me, I do it like Nike. But me not fear no guy now.
We're back at you on the Wednesday, July 17th edition of Talking Heads. And of course, you know, it's time for the buzz, all brought to you, of course, by John's Shoes. Everything back to school you need for back to school. Casual, formal, school shoes, athletic. They got it covered, all the accessories, socks, book bags, lunch boxes, you name it. They got it. Complete back to school going on for you at both John's locations, John's Plaza Carmichael. And over there, the flagship store on Rosetta. In both locations available for you, 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday. And remember, with John, serving you is a pleasure. All right, welcome to the show. No stranger to the show. Glad to have him back, Dr. Marvin Smith. How are you, sir? Better known as the big chief and the big dog in the 5 o'clock hour. But we have you in your professional capacity here today. The capacity to we hold you in high regard for it. I'm out of two capacities, but you know. But in this, you the man.
I feel okay. Heavy is the head that bears the crown. And yes. Since my cheeks wearing two crowns back to back, I know how that goes. We'll talk about that later.
But listen, I'm so glad to have you here. I know you're busy. I know you've been making the rounds. But you know me, I like to break it down. I want to make sure that, you know, Joe Bahama knows exactly what's going on, just as well as, you know, the halls of Parliament. Obviously, a landmark kind of is on the horizon with the potential passing of this cannabis bill.
Right.
Now, the components, I think, some need to be adjusted. Now, you know me, I've written on it for a long time. I am a supporter of medicinal, recreational, and sacramental.
Correct.
All right? Legalization of all three and decriminalization and expungement of records. But obviously, Rome wasn't built in a day. You got to creep before you walk. I know how this thing goes. I'm just impressed we've had the conversation this long and gotten to this point.
Well, you know, a part of it is that people wanted to have the conversations to make political points, but they weren't prepared to do the work. I think one of the things we have to do is we have to applaud the government. They said they were going to get this done, and they've got it done. And so, and I certainly don't hold no bucket for any political party, but...
No, but I get your point. Yeah. And to me, I was a strong, you know, advocate of it. I think we do need to have, you know, legalization and decriminalization across the board for a multitude of reasons. And then, of course, the hemp industry is a whole different industry. There's $1 billion annual industry that we could be a part of.
Exactly.
So we got to get the thing right. And I know at some point, you know, if two were going to get passed, probably recreational would have been the sacrificial lamb. But you can always revisit it if you have a bill passed, because you can always make amendments to said bill.
Correct.
So to get the dialogue going and to get it to this point, I must applaud this administration as well, because the previous administration talked a lot about it, but didn't kick the field goal.
Yeah. And the work was done, but they never brought it. They never got it to the end zone.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And I can tell you this, having been a part of committees under previous governments, not just the last one, we had documents, we had drafts, but this one actually came about, and I think the government rightfully admitted that they used a lot of the work from previous committees and commissions to get this thing happening. The key we have to do now is make sure people understand exactly what this means for them, you know, and that's going to be the key thing here, all right? So right off the bat, PM has been clear about this, that we will not be dealing with a recreational regime for cannabis, all right?
All right, see you. We'll get to you in a sec.
So when we talk about those sort of things, you know, the back and forth about, you know, how do we get this to progress to recreational, I think what we have to do is look at what we have now. We now have the ability to at least scientifically quantify what the real impacts of cannabis for a certain part of our population, all right, in a documented system.
And that, see,
that's the first thing.
And why I'm a huge advocate of the medicinal proponents of it,
right,
and the oils and the extracts and the byproduct. Right. Look at the opioid epidemic that's going on in the United States.
Right.
And listen, that may work in the moment, but long term, you see the effects and you see what's going on.
Sure.
I you know, subscribe to look a more holistic approach. I think that the benefit of the cannabis plant, especially towards a multitude of diseases that we have affect Bahamians every day here. I mean, it makes sense.
I would love to come back and spend the whole show just on this, the real reason behind the opioid epidemic.
Yeah, man, okay? I'm ready.
Because long and short of it is, all right, when America went through world wars in the 40s, 50s, and 60s,
mm-hmm.
all right, and they were drafting people, and their medical care was horrible, okay? Forget the fact if you got shot or stabbed. Just what they had people sleeping on. People came back with back good ailments disease, and different correct. Things.
And ailments. Okay?
And rightfully so, America said, listen, man, if you went and fought, your health care is free. And they basically told their doctors, whatever these dudes need, give it to them. And the pharma industry came in and get all this stuff. And it was a lot of different influences that dealt with that. And so a lot of what happened was that because these folk had discipline, right? Yes, some of them got addicted and some other things, but most of them were able to deal with it. The generation behind them, though, grew up raiding daddy's medicine.
It's a party.
Okay, I'll say. And they didn't have that discipline. And that's where you saw the drug culture really expedite. And correct. Now we're in a dependent society in some of these things. But we don't really have those issues here. The fact of the matter is, if somebody rich child didn't crop out dead with this last year, nobody would even talk about this. Okay? The fact of the matter is, our ratio of addiction and dependence, all right, at a critical level for patients in this country is not very high, even compared to our population. You know why? Because we have pharmacists on the ground who actively look out. They check those things.
Right.
If you come for an early refill, they want to know why.
Why?
And I can tell you that they will talk about if a suspected prescription is out there without dealing with compromising patient anonymity. They may block out the patient's name, but they may say, if you see a prescription from this particular physician on this pod, we suspect that to be fraudulent. And they'll send that to each other.
That kind of opens up a good segue here.
Yeah.
For what we got, but whenever you want to come back and have that convo, man, just for educational standpoint, you know, that's some interesting points you raised. Mm. But obviously, you know, from top to bottom, pharmacists have to be involved. It's going to be a medicinal standpoint. Because obviously, hypothetically, I come in and I say, hey, Dr. Smith, you know, I got high blood pressure and I'm a ticker gut issues. I'm taking high blood pressure medication and I'm taking heart medication.
Yeah.
But my doctor has prescribed me X, Y, and Z, and cannabis, you know.
For my chronic pain.
For my chronic knee back ailment.
Yeah. Right.
I want to be able to know what you prescribing me for medicinally, you know, cannabis-wise, is not going to have any adverse reaction with what I'm taking for my heart medication or my high blood pressure, so on and so forth.
And
because we Bahamians are famous for taking a bunch of medication at the same time. Let's be honest.
Not just that. Listen to me. Listen to me, man. Okay? And I'm not... I'm a pharmacist, but I'm also a son.
Right.
And I have seen situations where, because I have family members who go to multiple physicians for different things.
Right.
The GP for this one, the specialist for that one, the specialist for that one. And then when I go and I go through their meds, and I'm like, why do you have 3 meds for diabetes? Worse off, why do you have the same med in a combination in one and by itself in another? Right. Because they go to the doctors and the doctors write them and they forget to tell the doctor they're on something else, right? The doctor may even ask. They forget. We don't have an electronic medical system in this country where they could pull up records. And so the doctor, in good faith, prescribes this, right? Now, you know, they might get some of the stuff filled in the public sector and some filled in the private. And then when they call me and I have to go deal with it, but most of the times what they'll do is when the doctor writes them their prescription, they send it to me and I look at it and I realize, here's a duplication which you've already taken. So these things happen in the best of circumstances. What you would hate to have is a system in which somebody who wasn't qualified to look at that and catch those sort of gaps was the person that was dispensing a controlled substance like medical cannabis. And so I'm glad that the government came back to the table and said, hey, let's find a way to keep pharmacists more engaged, more involved. We didn't kill the entire idea of the cannabis dispenser, but we brought the supervision to a higher level.
Let's get to this call, because I know they've been on hold. Let's get to this call, and then I want to raise a point on that, which I think is good, too, in the long term. Talking heads.
Hey, Naughty, do the eggs, man.
Hey, what's happening?
I like medicine sales, right? You can't blame that administration. I'm following through. I just think they are doing my thing, you know?
They had plenty. Hold on, 1 second. I give you that. There was plenty going on, and maybe got put to the back of the table. But I find it very... convenient that Dr. Minnis talks about legalization of recreational today, but he didn't touch it during his administration. He talked medicinal, he talked Sacramento, he never went gung-ho, never went really near recreational. But today, recreational. And wow, the Uruguay model. How many times did I write about that in the comics view? But anyway, let me leave that alone. Go ahead.
Hey, you still listening to him too?
Huh?
Let him talk, man.
So, you know, I'm a comedian first and foremost. I find humor everywhere.
Hey, dogs is bark every day. You listen to them?
But some of them have some jokey barks, so you got to have a laugh. You know what I mean? Like some of them pit bulls sound like Chihuahua, and you got to laugh at them. Set.
Exactly. Like you're guessing, also the monetary aspects of the cannabis, right? In regards to them not fully legalizing the thing, you can still have these same problems going on with these guys selling on the road, singing all that type of stuff. Anyway,
there will still be a black market.
You have to go full board, man.
So Carla, the issue. See, I think I said this before. Two things can be correct at the same time. All right. When you combine them together,
problem.
They're wrong. Okay? The issue of what's happening on the street, okay, has zero to do with medical cannabis if and when it's legalized and open. Because what you've done now, because in the situation we have right now, right, which you're forcing people who need medical cannabis, right? I'm not talking about want and recreational. People who need medical cannabis. You're forcing them, all right, to go to a illegal path to get it. What this law does now is it takes them out of the loop. And for the person who's going to say, well, you can get a sick certificate anywhere from any doctor, so on, but I mean, it's not that hard.
Dog between me and you, know how this thing goes. Buy lunch, then build up this community.
Here's the issue. My liability, I personally... Okay, don't know physicians who willingly go out and give stuff. And I've been, remember, I've spent 20 plus years as a director with staff all over. The six steps come to me.
Right.
Okay? All right? I'm not saying it doesn't happen. Okay? I mean, but the thing is this. Let's just say it does. The risk that a doctor takes for writing you naughty, so because you want 3 days off because you need to go to Regatta, is zero. He says, I've examined him. He ain't feeling well. I give him 3 days off. The liability for him is zero. The liability for a physician, when you come in and say, but I just need to smoke some weed and I need you to write this thing up. If you go out under that influence and it's proven that you don't have the disease that he says, that physician puts his entire license at risk. It's a completely different, I mean...
Well, that was one of my questions that I feel I had for you, is, you know, looking at the involvement of Bahamians and foreign entities, especially in the dispensary portion of it.
Correct.
You know, I could say, okay, that's my dispensary, but I got Tom, Dick, and Harry from Arizona, Humboldt County in California, and New Mexico, you know, they're going to run my dispensary for me. I got work permits and everything. I need to know. They know the standards of the Bahamas, meaning I was glad to hear that you guys will be a training arm for anybody in the dispensaries, meaning you got to know what you're giving out before you give it out. And it can't be all buck up, go.
No. And the other part about it is...
And it also, you become like a watchdog because you know how many foreign entities are actually involved and how many Bahamians are actually at the helm of these businesses.
So here's why getting pharmacy technicians as the entry point... The minimum requirement to be a cannabis dispenser was critical because the cannabis authorities can give you the license to be a cannabis dispenser, but the pharmacy council has to give you a license.
But is there a vetting process for you to get that license in order to go on to the pharmacy
council? There's a vetting process now to be a pharmacy technician. You can't just pull up and be a pharmacy technician.
No. I'm talking about the licenses for dispensing.
Yes.
If this bill is passed.
Yeah.
Is there a vetting process for those who get the licenses in order to come to you guys now to say, look, we need a training set up with the technicians for our dispensaries?
They've laid out some of those requirements in the bill as it is, right? The basic ones. Now, what's going to happen is the cannabis authority is going to be appointed. Then they're going to have to sit down and actually come with a full listing of regulations, what the ministers and the AG in the meeting that we had with them as the association indicated is that in crafting those regulations, they're going to bring the association as a stakeholder to participate in helping to do that. Because again, we are the ones who actually do the work, right? So, you know, I said this on another show. We have a saying in the Bahamas, old broom know where to sweep. There's a reason why we say where to sweep and not how to sweep. Every broom know how to sweep. Old broom know where.
Right.
Right? So, yes, you have the technocrats in the ministry and some and in the AG's office who can help craft the law. But getting the actual practitioners involved in writing the regulations is going to assist them to make really workable and feasible things and enforceable things. Doesn't make sense you create something that you can't enforce. And it doesn't make sense you create something that when you enforce it, it doesn't give you what you want.
Let's get to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
Hello.
Afternoon.
Yes, sir. Listening to the alarms, I'm listening to the discussion going on with the marijuana and everything and the ganja and everything. So what now? The things I would like to ask is in regards to who is going to be responsible for the growing, the facilitating, the all this thing. Is this going to happen like the Bahamians always say, we already know the people who can get all the licenses and everything. It's the same old favorite people. We knew who was going to get the number nine licenses before they even finished the discussion in the House Assembly. We know who will be able to grow this and who can't grow it before they even finish discussing this in the House Assembly. The same old elites would own everything, would just make money from everything. They would be the same people could get any license and anything that they want. And the average Joe Blow on the street who try to get into the market to make a dollar or two, gonna be the same fella they could be arresting for breaking some sort of law against the laws that they made and against the one trying to sell the stuff what they sell. I tell you over and repeatedly, Naughty, I started when I was a young guy and then I stopped years ago because it was against the law. So I would smoke my cigarette and drink my Guinness, the brown bottle, because it's legal. But I've been told that the Guinness and the cigarette will mess my body up quicker than any cannabis, ganja, or spliff.
That's why you need to step away from the Rodman, put the lighter down, and back up off the ashtray. Because that's catching that, Sparky.
Well, I think one of the things we have to understand is this, and we've been talking about this for a while now, Nani. What I'm advocating for Bahamians to do, the same way that the Pharmacy Association looked at the legislation and said, these are the things that have to happen to protect Bahamian patients, and keep Bahamian pharmacy strong and viable. We made those submissions. There's some really specific language in this bill. And if I can move outside of my association hat for 2 seconds and just as a Bahamian reading it. If you want to grow it, if you want to process it, if you want to package it, and you want to own a dispensary, you have to be Bahamian, 100% Bahamian.
Right.
No foreigners.
Correct.
Okay? If you want to...
That doesn't stop me from hiring foreigners if I own said dispensary.
A Bahamian could hire anybody.
Yeah, right.
All right. The issues of manufacture and testing and evaluation is where you have to. You can bring in foreign owners, but it has to be a minimum, at least 30% Bahamian owned. It could be more, but it has to be at least a minimum. Here's the thing the Bahamians need to do, okay? Stop complaining about what you think is going to happen. Put yourselves together. Prepare yourselves. If you feel like the number's going to be high, that they're going to ask for the security deposit or whatever else, then you need to find 5 other people who got what you got and make sure you have that money. Because 20% of something is better than 0% of nothing.
Exactly.
Okay? You need to advocate. You need to read the rules. If you need help, come and talk to the various associations and different people who understand this. You want to go into business, hire a lawyer, put together a proper business plan. And what you do is you present something to that authority so that you have, they have no reason to turn you down. And if they do, you have your documentation, and then you raise hell. But we want to raise hell before we do step number one. Okay?
Let's get to the phones real quick because they lighten up. Talking heads.
Yeah, good afternoon, Naughty.
Hey, what's going on, 52?
Yeah, good afternoon, Dr. Smith. Enough respect.
Yeah, 52.
Yeah, listen, you know, the thing is with Sparky, Sparky reminded me of the Abraham Flexner Report, Autocrats of the Money Bag. In 1904, the American Medical Association created a Council for the Medical Education, in which they then monopolized health care and decided that they will regulate or outlaw all homeopathic remedies, essential oils, massage therapy, acupuncture, pressure puncture. Doctor, you know what I mean?
And yep. So
when I look at people in the medical field on YouTube and various things and lectures, they know that all the medications here, people are getting more sick because we have side effects. But my father was given Motrin, even though he had he's on a defibrillator. So I noticed the doctor said that some patients wouldn't even tell the doctor if they are on other medications or co-meditating. I mean, co-medicating.
Yeah. Right?
And so then this shouldn't be, the owner shouldn't lie on the doctor to ask what medications are you on, because most of the doctors said that when you go to the clinic, and then they'll ask you those things. But that I was just upset because the doctor had given my father Motrin. He's supposed to be professional, and this is a hospital, private hospital in Nassau, where my father was an infamous patient, because I used to be there all hours with him in the night.
Correct.
The same. So we're not running a perfect medical system here. So public education is key.
So,
and what I'm not hearing, too, and I need you to answer this for me, is what about the oil, the cannabis oil? See, I'm looking at nobody's gram coil and gram talk with the industrial side of the hemp, et cetera, versus the cannabis sativa and indica for medical use and recreation and whatever.
No, we definitely have to talk about those sort of things. But let me say this, too. The sometimes it's not that people don't ask. Sometimes I think what we do in this country, and I can tell you this as somebody who's been practicing the better part of 25 years now, all right? And I don't want the people to just sit in my office. People know me. They'll tell you this. When I worked in the hospital I worked at, I walked through, I talked to my patients. To this day, my phone buzzes with patients in Freeport. And I started practicing in Freeport from 2003. And they still will call me and check on stuff. So here's the thing that happens. We are sometimes, as a people, too trusting. And we'd like to be blissfully ignorant of what it is we're supposed to. So if you ask the average patient, tell me what you're on. Tell me how you should take it. I promise you, okay, if you ask them 10 times, you will get 8 different versions. You'll get 8 different versions, okay? And because and here's the thing. The average patient is on about 5 meds, all right? So the problem, and I'll give you a personal example. My mother had to go to the hospital about a month and a half ago at the private facility, and I walk in, and they're asking her, what are your meds? Okay, and my mother, who's a teacher who has very good recall, couldn't give them half her meds. And my sister, who is there, who goes to her to the doctor, couldn't give half. And I had to sit there and walk through and I go, this is what she's on, and here's what she's on, and here's how she takes it, so and so. I'm a pharmacist. I'm used to memorizing that.
All right.
Okay, so what I'm saying to you is this. As a general rule, okay, whether it's medical cannabis or whatever else, we need to create a society in which people understand that their health is the most important thing to them. And the same way you could rattle off your bank account number and your ATM pin, you need to be able to rattle off your meds. That's key. That's key, 52. All right? And no matter which medical regimen we use. As it relates to what we're going to be able to do with the actual products, I agree with you. Our oils, our teas, our oral formulations, our tinctures, those are going to be the things, patches. These are going to be the things that are going to be more used because at the end of the day, for most patients who are sick but not ill, and what I mean by that is sick is something's wrong with me. Ill is everything's wrong with me. Okay? So when I have terminal cancer, I'm ill. I'm not sick. All right? So if I have a terminal cancer patient and they're in chronic pain and chronic nausea and vomiting, and the quickest way and the highest way for them to get the cannabis in to curtail that is smoking, but they got chronic cancer. It's terminal. I can't do no more real harm. So as a physician or as a pharmacist, I may say, Hey, listen, smoking it might be the best way for you to get this to get relief, okay? When I have somebody who is epileptic, okay, and they're 19 years old and they're epileptic and they have intractable epilepsy, which means it keeps coming, and I need to use a product from cannabis to help them, I'm not going to tell a 19-year-old to smoke. Not when there's other ways to do it.
Correct.
So the oils and these different things are going to come. And if you look at the entire listing of medical conditions, smoking is going to be one of the least ways that we're going to be utilizing this stuff.
All right, we got to get to the break. Call us. I need you to either hang on or call me back right after the news in the 5 o'clock. We will be going over. We'll wrap this conversation up. We'll also talk some sports because training camp's open. So I got to find out what's going on with the Kansas City Chiefs. I see it. Your lanyard is a Kansas City Chief lanyard. Yeah, yes, indeed. Oh, boy. So, as long as you can hit me back right after the news, I will take your calls, and we'll finish this discussion, and I'm going to get into the sports, all right? Quick break, flip side of the break. You got Cuban Whitty's immigration report straight into the news, all brought to you, of course, by the Island Game, so keep it right where you got it. The Wednesday, July 17th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Are you looking for a fresh experience? Look no further than Fresh Market. Our store is stocked with the freshest produce, meats, and dairy, all sourced locally and internationally for the best quality. With our commitment to freshness and our friendly associates, your shopping experience is sure to be a breeze. Come visit Fresh Market today and taste the difference freshness can make.
When everybody out, fried chicken we a pre bucket for the crowd. Share a bucket together, everybody go live. Crispy original when we online.
Bucket together and do the new dance craze.
Pot AFC summer bucket deal: 8 pieces of your favorite fried chicken and 4 buttery biscuits with options to add family fries, a 2-liter switcher, and 4 pineapple biscuits, starting at $20. KFC, it's finger licking good.
All I do is win, 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 no matter what.
Feeling lucky? Here's Cuban Willie's numerology report, brought to you by the Island Game.
Buenos dias, soy yo, Cuban Willie, and it's time once again for my numerology report, brought to you, of course, by the Island Game. Today is Wednesday, the home day, and we're going to get over the home together, baby, because I got a 3 pelota for you. The 3 balls for you today. 0-9-3-0-9-3-0-9-3. Play that win today in the Island Games. Stay winning, my friend.
We're going to give you a check every week for a year.
Percy Fenty Plan, Island Game. Keep you winning, Percy Fenty Plan. Dream big, we will help you. Percy Fenton Plan, Island Game, we got you. Percy Fenton Plan, from the friends you can trust. If winning is a must, go play the game you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game. So put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Game.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
All those loans I had were so overwhelming. Fidelity's debt consolidation loan combined all my loan payments into one easy payment with a built-in savings plan that pays me unbeatable interest. It's time to make that move to Fidelity. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for.
for you.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
We're back at you on the Wednesday, July 17th edition of Talking Heads. Callers, you can hit me back right now. Those of you who waited patiently, just hit me back. We'll definitely get your calls on. Wrapping up this conversation with Dr. Smith, and obviously we'll talk sports in short order. Pretty little under the weather today. Should be chiming in. Did a great job holding down for Chivago, but I feel a little off kilter right now. So he may chime in. He may not chime in, but hope you feel better there, Pretty. I think he eats something.
He ain't changed the oil in the air fryer.
That's the problem. That's a problem right there, I believe. I really believe that.
You're missing that oil, man. You're missing that oil.
But I, again, like I said earlier, man, I appreciate you being here because I think we do need a proponent or a component to this that the Bahamians can still get some answers from.
Yeah.
And I think with pharmacists being involved, at the end of the day, for what y'all bring to the table, we could ask, okay, Pharmacists Association, what's going on with X, Y, and Z? Can you explain A, B, and C?
Yeah.
Because obviously we need to know the involvement of all persons involved. And like some of the callers alluded to, you don't want it to be the same old, same old. You want this market to be something that could actually be beneficial to all Bahamians. And I look at young Bahamians in this sense. The average age of the farmer is 70 in this country.
Correct.
You get into the hemp production now, not the cannabis. You can actually grow in outdoor, because at the end of the day, the best way to grow it is outdoors. It's not in the grow houses. You get them cultivating a strain, a medicinal strain that will be sold to X, Y, and Z or to distributed to you guys to distribute.
Right.
There's ways they could do that and be in the game. There's also the hemp industry. We make billion. I think it's like a $2 or $3 billion a year industry on cruise ship rope, and the cruise ship rope is made from what? The hemp plant. Who has the second largest cruise ship registry worldwide? The Bahamas.
Right here.
You don't think we can cut a deal if we're growing hemp plants to make the rope with all the ships that register us? Look, we'll give you a discount on your registry if you purchase your rope from us.
Well, not even is that. It's just the fact that hemp has so many other industrial uses.
Oh, I'm not even getting to the hempcrete and on and on. Textiles, clothing, paper,
and
everything.
And I'm going to say this. If you're looking to get into this business from a growing, manufacturing, processing standpoint, you need to build your business based on international trade.
Correct.
Okay? All right? This is...
And do your research as to where you could trade internationally. Don't think America, right across the water, we could do it there. It's not going to be that easy.
This ain't the think small thing, okay?
No.
So I get it. We want to say, well, the same people. Put your groups together. Co-ops. Do these things. My good friend Terry's probably ears is perking up. Get in a co-op, all right? If 20 of you bring $100,000, all right, you got more money to put down in any of these single people who want to drop down some money. At the end of the day, work together. All right? Communities need to come together. Island associations need to start looking at this sort of thing. All right? Particularly when you look at the fact that because of the cross-pollination, you're going to have at least 21 miles between one type and the other type. So what you don't do is what we typically do.
That's an excellent point you brought up. A lot of people don't take that into consideration, especially when you're growing it outdoors, which is the best way to grow it.
We do this all the time. My neighbor selling this, I can start selling it right next to her. No. Figure out, this island, we're going to use this strain. That island, we're going to deal with this part. This island, we're going to do industrial. You work together. This is called the Commonwealth of the Bahamas.
If we were doing it medicinally, and it gets to that point, and you're going to have an export market, then I think you should export it, do the strains that reflect the Bahamas.
Yeah.
Have your Gamalami strain. Have your Dilly strain.
Yep.
Have your Gannep strain.
Yep.
People will identify it. They'll brand it or call it the Chikchani, something that's indigenous to the country.
Right.
That when it's exported, they know, okay, listen, that Chikchani strain is great for folks that have, eating issues and eating disorders, for appetite. for insomnia, for pain. That's great. Or this strain.
Jamaica's done that with the lamb's bread.
Hey, there you go.
So
you got the sugar apple. Okay, this is great. This is gonna uplift you. This fights depression. And see, we need folks to know what strains they're getting.
Yeah, and this is where we have to create an avenue that encourages our young people to get qualified for this sort of stuff. I'm very concerned about the creeping anti-intellectualism that is coming into the country, almost similar to what we see with our neighbors to the north, where you never want to believe anybody who has a degree or a certification in something, and you just decide, but now you're the expert. At the end of the day, all right, this is an opportunity for us to encourage our young people, get into these things. Here's something you could do and come home and do it. Create the avenues for co-ops, create the avenues for funding, create the avenues for UB to be more actively engaged and involved in these sort of things. These are going to be critical aspects, all right? And one of the things that we're going to do as an association is we're going to lead the way in data collection and retrospective studies to look at what's happening with our patients. I can guarantee you, if nobody else does it in the country, the Pharmacy Association is going
to
do it.
All right, let's get to the phone lines again. Talking Heads. Talking Heads. All right, caller, call us back. Mr. Producer, keep an eye out. I think Pretty may be trying to zoom in. But like I said, you know, it's important that the information gets out there from the initial stages, Doc.
Yeah.
So people know what's going on and how to follow this thing. I know that at some point we have to dot the I's and cross the T's. And I think it's very important that in that process of dotting the I's and crossing the T's that you guys are involved. I think you guys, I don't want to use the word watchdog, but it gives some accountability to the situation. You know, okay, the right strains are going to be brought in, the right amount and dosages are going to be prescribed. Yep. You're not going to have a case of an exorbitant black market with medicinal on the black market, because as you know how things go in this country, lunch just buy everything and open up doors and all kind of things. You're not going to have a case of a proliferation of certificates handed out from doctors saying that this patient has glaucoma now all of a sudden. Or whatever. You know, it's going to be legit usage, legit administration. So I think it's important that we get it right from the break.
Yeah, and the key to doing that is by keeping the associations and the professional councils involved. All right, Dr. Gemma Roll, who's the president of the Medical Association. If you have that medical association connected, you have those leaders there, they're able to keep promoting to their members, these are the things we stand for. These are the things we're going to do. We're not being reactive. We're being proactive. And that's going to be critical.
And, you know, there is some backlash. You know, Naughty, I think, you know, I can't take Dr. Smith seriously regarding marijuana legalization. He's a pharmaceutical guy, and he makes a living dispensing prescription pharmaceutical drugs. Keep the pharmaceutical folks away from the shaping of the policies and laws for marijuana. All right, listen, Tex, I don't know if you caught the part earlier where I addressed the opioid situation. So I'm not sitting there and trying to say no because you're in pharmaceuticals. No, I want somebody that knows. See, that's the problem. We have behemoths that know their stuff. I almost said the wrong word. They know that. All right, they know their stuff. They've put in the effort. They put in the time. They made the sacrifices to get the accreditations and the doctorates that put them here today. Listen, God knows I've written enough columns on it and said I'm a advocate of the legalization, decriminalization, medicinal, recreational, and sacramental and religious marijuana. But it's got to be done right.
Yeah.
You know. As much as I know friends and have friends, I want Yachty from around the corner running my dispensary, because that's who I need running my dispensary. I need to know that you can eventually do it one day because you've gotten the training.
Right.
But you know the strains, the grades, the dosages, the so-ons and the so-forth, and how to prescribe it, whether it's to be smoked, whether it's to be done in a tea, whether it's to be a compound or an oil or an extract. I mean, come on.
And see, that text is an example of what I just spoke about. We can disagree on stuff. But when you begin with, I can't take a professional seriously about their profession, then you're telling me that you don't really have a respect for intelligence. You don't have a respect for documentation. You don't have a respect for facts. All right. At the end of the day, all right, whether you agree with the, and it's not me. I'm speaking as the president of the association. Marvin Smith got some completely different viewers and issues, but nobody comes on this show to hear Marvin Smith give those issues.
Right.
I'm speaking as the president of a professional body. And
who was at one point consulted by the administration right, in regards right, to this bill, correct?
Right. So at the end of the day, when we begin the conversation with, I don't take these people who are qualified seriously because they are qualified. That don't make no sense. The math ain't mathing. All right? Who else? That's like saying, I don't take the pilot telling me we got to get off this plane because something ain't right. Because, you know, the pilots get paid to fly anyway. So it don't make sense.
No, I don't think you guys have a direct watch in the game. At the end of the day, just as you dispense everything else.
Yeah, we're just doing our job. And Naughty, to be honest with you, when you look at the disease states that are out there and the amount of patients that have those, we're talking less than 2% of our patients. We've done the math on this.
Right.
This is not an economic thing as much as it is a safety thing, because those diseases represent some of our most vulnerable patients. That's the key thing. All right? No pharmacy is going to get rich off of medical cannabis in the Bahamas. All right? Because at the end of the day, our population is too small. And hold on, these tourists that are coming in, if they have to go to a doctor and actually get a prescription and then turn around and come to the pharmacy and get it filled, that's the entire day off the cruise ship right there.
That ain't happening.
And they can't take it back on the cruise ship. So this isn't going to be the big thing. The real money in this is not in the pharmacy. The real money in this is in the growing and processing and exporting. It's not, and that's not anybody could get involved.
And to that Texas point, you know, you do want to have as many people involved as possible, because when it comes to the growing, you want to make sure it's done correctly, it's a quality grade, it's for export, it meets all the standards, you know, medicinally.
Exactly.
And at the end of the day, there's not a monopoly on it. They'll be able to give information back and say, okay, look, X, Y, and Z got 4 dispensaries. Or 4 grow houses and right. 2 dispensaries. They can't. It won't allow for a monopoly to be in the game.
And it shouldn't.
Because it's an evolving market, and it should be able to evolve at some point into a recreational as well.
And keep in mind what we did with one of the recommendations we made to the government. The government was going to allow one pharmacist to oversee 5 facilities.
Okay. Correct. I think you all, I heard on the White Show that you got into 3.
We really wanted 1-to-1.
Right. The happy medium, though, is 3.
But we said 3. So what we were saying was, we don't want monopolies. We don't want people just going up there and being hogs and tearing up the whole thing. One, we feel like it's better to spread it out. And 2, proper supervision can't happen when you got to run 5 facilities. Okay? So if the pharmacists were really looking to grab all the money, we would have gone with the 5 stuff, because we could have locked down the whole thing.
Correct.
All right? So
we got this call on the line. Talking Heads. Anyway, I don't know what's going on with that line right there, but hey, let's back call him. See, I think we're at the stage now, though, where we got the consistent dialogue going on this thing. Right. So we can, you know, sit and let as many people come to the table as they can to get it right. You want the best bill passed at the end of the day that's beneficial to as many people and as many Bahamians involved as possible. Yeah. And it allows for as many Bahamians to have a stake in the game as possible as well.
Yeah. And if the government decides, if any government decides to go to a recreational regime, they're going to have to do that based on, again, data and information. It can't be an emotional.
I strongly suggest the Uruguayan model.
But if you write a couple more columns, a couple more politicians will be quoting you now.
There you go, man. It is what it is. But
you need royalty. You need royalty checks for that.
No, at the end of the day, though, Doc, I want to see it done correctly.
Yeah.
So there's ease of access for you guys to do your job and make sure Bahamians get what they need and the quality.
Exactly.
That the Bahamians in the market can invest their money and make money long-term, internationally with exploitation as well as locally. And at the end of the day, that it makes sense. and it's not the same old, same old. I think this opportunity, this, if we get this right 20, 30 years from now, a lot of young Bahamians could have viable businesses through this, and not just through cannabis and medicinal and recreational and sacramental. There's the whole hemp industry.
Exactly.
That opens up a myriad avenues.
And the research.
And game changing on multiple levels.
Do you understand what it is when you have multiple different types of soil in the same country? Right? So you have an inherent ability to produce a different product.
Correct.
Even with the same seed. Okay? The research alone here would be perfect. All right? And these are the things we have to do.
Right. And I mean, there's always, you know, opportunities to make money off of people coming in and doing the research and getting the information.
But the trick for us is we have to go ahead and make sure that we lock down those strains. So that when somebody wants to come and use the sugar apple strain or
whatever,
so and so,
indigenous.
They're paying Bahamians.
Right, and it's a Bahamian strain. And if you see it elsewhere around the world, you got your copyrights and all of that, where you can now say, that's exactly. My product. That's exactly. A Bahamian product. What are you talking about?
Exactly.
That comes from this grow house in the Bahamas on this family island, produced by so and so who's a Bahamian. Cease and desist.
Yeah. And that's where the real money is.
Let's get to the phone lines real quick. Talking Heads.
Hello, good day. How you doing?
What's happening?
Everything good. Good day, Doc.
Good day.
Man, Doc, you spreading bad news, man.
I'm spreading bad news? I spread the truth. If it is good or bad, depends on your ass.
I spoke to you the other day, I didn't really speak to you, but I spoke to you twice, right? That's yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
About smoking marijuana, and you said that smoking ain't no good, and anytime you smoke anything, it makes you sick. Am I wrong?
That's not what I said. Another caller came in and said that made that statement. I didn't say that.
Okay,
all right?
But since
you've raised it, let me clarify what I said. Okay?
Yeah,
all right? Even though it's bad etiquette to quote from one show and another show. Right? Here's the issue. What I'm saying to you is this. We understand that smoking, putting a superheated vapor, regardless of what it contains, if you take...
What about 100% alcohol?
Hold on for a second. Hold on. I'm talking about a vapor. I'm talking about a vapor. And you could have... alcohol can be vaporized. But even if you're the natural air you breathe right now, with the 79% nitrogen and 20% oxygen and everything else, if you heat that and you push that into your lungs, you create a scenario where you damage your alveoli. Okay. Now, when you start adding other things to it, whether it's a herbal thing, whether it's nicotine, whether it's industrial tobacco, whether it's cannabis, whatever it is. Okay. When you place a superheated vapor into your lungs, you create a negative health impact. That's just a fact. Okay. Now hold on. Because you put some things in my mouth. I gotta clarify them now because we're on a national station.
We're talking heads now.
Okay.
Yeah.
So here's the issue. What I indicated, and I said it here today, that most physicians, and this is documented. We've been speaking with the physicians here. It's documented. We're speaking with international physicians. It's documented with all of the clinical guidelines around medical cannabis that are approved for use in North America, but in the Americas.
Not all. Hold on now.
Listen to what I'm saying to you. All right?
Yeah.
In the clinical trials that have measured the different formulations of cannabis for use, the general sentiment, the consensus sentiment by the professionals is you can get a quicker absorption through smoking for things that impact the central nervous system. All right? For things that impact the peripheral nervous system, topical application to the site. So if you have knee pain, putting something to your knees is better. Okay? Elbow pain to the elbow.
A cream, an ointment.
Right, okay?
Yeah.
But it must, smoking should only be used when the impact of smoking versus vaping, a cold compressed gas, whether topicals, whether orals, whatever else, when the impact of the smoking is less severe, or we call it deleterious. That's the technical term, which means it's just bad, right? To the patient, all right? So when the pros of getting that enhanced absorption outweigh the cons, that's when smoking is recommended as a viable option.
Similar to what you mentioned earlier, you have a terminal patient,
right,
and then...
Right, okay, and we talked about that. So I never said that you should never smoke medical cannabis.
Okay, so doc, now...
Right.
On the list of diseases where they said going to be recommended for medical or medicinal marijuana, right?
Right, the preliminary list.
Okay, so why is it... Asthma on it. Why is asthma not on it?
Because you will never see, and 52 talked about this one pretty earlier today, okay? You will never see putting a superheated vapor.
Doc,
let me ask you a question.
Hold on, you gotta let him answer.
Okay.
Or your next question. Let him answer this one. Okay. Get your whole question out then right. Caller.
Because you know what he mentioned is superheated vehicle, right? Do you realize we live in the Bahamas? I do construction, right? What about you something? All the buildings, what is he basically what you go up and enjoy and all these women are all nice up and enjoy. You know who build those buildings? You know what they be smoking when they building them buildings so that they could build them buildings? They be smoking marijuana. All right? And you're talking about superheated.
Hold on. But Carl, let me get this right. That may be a fact, according to you, that, you know, the hotels or buildings are being built by construction workers that consume marijuana. That still doesn't take away from the fact that a professional, a certified professional, says that a heated vapor into your lungs is detrimental or deleterious.
Deleterious.
There you go.
That's the word for
one body. That don't take away from it. That still makes it bad right there. So if we can look at it medicinally, we got to look at it at the best ways to consume it. And if smoking it is not the best way, it's more detrimental, then we have to find different avenues. And that's taking nothing from the dudes who allegedly smoked to build these buildings to find inspiration and motivation from holding the forward.
I mean, this is a classic example, again, of two things can be right, but when you put them together, they're not relevant. So here's the thing, all right? And the reason why this is critical,
and maybe you should investigate a water bong rather than a penis.
Because I literally went back and listened to the show again last evening, okay? Because I wanted to. So what he's describing to me is not what happened. You can go to the transcript. It somebody else called in and said that, and that person was against smoking as a whole. I'm a medic. I'm involved in the practice and delivery of medicine. Okay. I have to look at things from what the science says. Plain and simple. All right? And the science tells us that if I don't have to tell somebody to smoke anything, I don't do it. I don't. All right? It says to me, these are the things that are that work. These are the things that don't. All right? We're not going to... We waste our time. We're spinning our wheels if we waste our time trying to come up with ways why medical cannabis shouldn't be approved because you want to smoke recreationally. If you want to smoke recreationally, here's what you do. All right? You organize yourselves. You make those sort of submissions through your government agencies, and you bring your data. The Pharmacy Association has been pushing for medical cannabis since 2012. I was president from 2010 to 2012. I wrote the first paper about this. All right? We've been talking to governments over and over again to get this done. That's how you make change. All right? What we didn't do was say, man, you all approve alcohol, so why y'all don't approve this? You're comparing apples to oranges. What you need to do is make your case for what it is you want to be done. All right, not easy, and he's made some good cases based on some of the models in South America, particularly the Uruguayan model, right? You put those things to paper. That's how you get things changed, all right? But beating up on people because we went to school and we have a job and we have a profession and we're saying for our profession, medical is where we start and stop, it don't make sense.
Well, Doc, I appreciate you. Like they said in Joe Pesci would say in My Cousin Vinny, thank you for fumigating your wisdom on all of us here today. I'm glad you brought some light to certain situations so folks can get a better idea of where we're going. Obviously, this is the first of many discussions we'll have on this show leading up to where we need to be with this bill. Yeah. But I think that it's important that the pharmacists are involved because you want, like I said, correct dispensation, correct measurements, correct. You guys can come in and say, listen, hey, this may not be working, you know. How are your legs feeling? Your knees don't feel any better? Listen, maybe you should talk to you about this strain. This works better because of the components that you have in your knees.
Which is what we do with normal medications now.
So, like this text says, Naughty, your guess is making a ton of sense. If marijuana is a medicine, then a pharmacist should dispense. I could sell beer, but I can't dispense Viagra. You get my point?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And one of the things I would say, too, we have to stop making these sort of things personal. This is a national issue, okay? And I said this to the minister and the AG. You have an opinion. I said, I don't have an opinion. My association has an opinion. And as the president, my job is to give their opinions, all right? When I want to give my personal opinions, I resign as president, and then I can say whatever I feel like.
Right.
All right?
But until then, you grow a firm.
And if you're going to quote me. Don't quote nobody else.
Correct.
Because it's easy to know what I say. I've been saying it since 2010.
Real easy. Any show that you want to get caught up on, especially with this topic or other topics, real easy. GuardianTalkRadio.com. Yep. Everybody's show is right there. Click on. They give you a rundown of the days. So there's no radio that you can say.
I was sitting up in the ER last night. Friend with his family there. So all I did was listen to all the shows again. So I know what I said.
Well, I appreciate you stopping by. In that aspect, I can let you take your pharmacist hat off. We're going to take a break, and then we can talk sports. Pearly will be chiming in. You'll stick around with us, and we'll talk some NFL. And we got to talk track and field, because, boy, the ish hitting the fan with that. We got to talk some of that. And then we got our picks, and we got our Colin Cowherd taking us home. So keep it right where you got it. The final 30 of the Wednesday, July 17th edition of Talking Heads continues right after this.
Cancer Treatment Centers of America is now City of Hope, creating one of the leading cancer care and research networks from coast to coast, providing more of what you need. More locations means more care closer to home. More specialists means more expertise. More research means more breakthroughs. More advancements means more treatment options. And more options means more hope. Learn more at cancercenter.com.
Naughty Johnny's restaurant can only be described as the experience you want to recreate again and again and again. Their motto is simple food done well. You're welcome into their home at Naughty Johnny's where you can dine on crack conch fritters, and other Bahamian favorites. There's also an international flair that's guaranteed to offer something for everyone. Enjoy a good meal and listen to live band on their patio Friday and Saturday nights, or brunch on Saturday and Sunday, only at Naughty Johnny's restaurant in the Old Town Plaza, Old Fort. They're open 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Monday through Thursday, 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Friday, 10 a.m. to 11 p.m. on Saturday, and 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Sunday. Naughty Johnny's. Well worth the trip. Bunk it together, come make me bunk it together. Hey, bunk
it together, bunk it together. We are bunk it together when everybody out. Yeah. Fried chicken, we are pre bunk it for the crow. Share a bunk it together, everybody go live. Ooh. Crispy original when we're online.
It together and do the new dance craze.
Hot KFC Summer Bucket Deal. 8 pieces of your favorite fried chicken and 4 buttery biscuits with options to add family fries, a 2-liter switcher, and 4 pineapple biscuits starting at $20. KFC, it's fucking good.
The Grand Bahama News is available every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian. You can buy your local paper at Freeport convenience stores, Western Bakery, DeGregory's Fine Foods, and Bellevue Gifts. Now is the time to reach your Grand Bahama market with affordable packages, including print and digital. Call GB News sales representative Kavondre at 822-6717 or message him on WhatsApp for ad rates. Classified ads are now available every Tuesday as well. Keep up with everything Grand Bahamian every Tuesday in the Nassau Guardian.
We go everywhere. Shop early at Janae's Chesapeake Road annual back to school sale going on now. Get up to 20% off on all school items in stock. Yes, all school items in stock. Shirts, jumpers, skirts, boys long and short pants, school neckties, BE shorts, in a variety of colors and school monograms. Shop early and don't miss out at Janae's Uniform Center Chesapeake Road's annual back to school sale going on now. Remember, we go everywhere. Beat the rush and save at Janae's annual sale now.
Yeah.
with fine style, with elegant taste. Then fine threads is your place. If you want those slacks hemmed or just taking the waist, then fine threads is your place. If you want to look suave and debonair everywhere you go, like you're supposed to be in a video. Want to step out and look great? Then fine threads is your place. With fine style, with elegant taste, then fine threads is your place. Is your place. Is your place.
John Shoes and Accessories is your one-stop shop for all your footwear needs. You will find what you're looking for among the growing collection of classic and trendy styles with new arrivals every week. John's covers the whole family and has great prices, helpful and friendly customer service. Your experience shopping with us will be time well spent. Shop with us online at www.johnshoes.com. John's also now carries small home appliances. So come on into John's, located on Rosetta Street in Palmdale and Carmichael Road West. John's, we put fashion at your feet.
You're listening to Talking Heads with Naughty. Only on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
We're back at you on the Wednesday, July 17th edition of Talking Heads. Talking sports now. Purdy is in the building. We got Purdy chiming in. Purdy, you feeling better, Purdy?
Getting there.
You ate something, made your stomach feel upset, Purdy. What you eat, man? It gave you upset stomach.
That's the problem. I did.
Oh, self-inflicted, man.
He was walking good, but I see him walking out today.
Self-inflicted. Oh, he's always bounced out of here, boy. You can't, man, when he walk out of here, boy. I saw him in the parking lot the other day, boy. Superstar.
You look like he was on the dance line for Soul Train when he was
moving. All you needed was the theme from Shopping Tomorrow. Who is the man?
You're too kind.
All right, so Purdy and now I can refer you to you as the big chief in your sports capacity, Marvin.
Yes.
Let's talk this Olympic team real quick, man. As of today, I heard Mr. Knowles from the Bombers Olympic Committee say that, you know, when his daughter found out that Shania wouldn't make the team, you know, that was kind of the turning point to make the decision that would encourage a lot of young women to start running track in this country. So that was a component to make that happen. But listen, my problem is this. You don't need to remove the young lady that qualified because she finished third. And by rights, the rules say if you qualify in that position, you make the team.
Yeah.
If you want to add Shania on because of what she did coming in the crutch in the last minute, you know, filling a void and helping the team qualify, and she's a part of the future of the program and only 16, you want to take her for the experience, that's fine. What I suggest you do is cut one or two of the numerous, and if you look at the list of the entourage of the family, friends, homies, lovers, cronies, crew who are going to be going on this trip.
Not just that. You gotta, if you're going to bring Shania in, she finished fifth. So you need to bring in number four, too.
Correct.
Well, my question I'm confused a little bit because the question is what your ranking is. If you did not meet the Olympic qualifying time, it is where your ranking is in that meet for the year. And so the question is, who has the higher ranking for the year? It's not, I understand they're saying who finished first, second, or third, but that's usually if you have a whole crew who are qualified, and so out of the qualifiers in terms of meeting the Olympic standard, they go. But now, there's another avenue to make the Olympic team is by being in the top, whatever the amount is for that sport, 32, 16, 24. And if you're in that top for the world,
right,
then you can qualify to go to the Olympics. So we need to look at the time, who has the fastest time for the year as well.
So, but here's the issue. Yep. Here's the issue. None of them prior to the meet had a time that qualified them.
Exactly.
Okay? So the meet was the decisive factor for all. They set that meet up because people didn't have the appropriate times and other qualifying, they didn't have to come. Okay? So
yeah, but if they don't make the right qualifying time in the world, you can't go to the Olympics.
But Purdy, if you want to go on the rankings, Ms. Cooper is ranked 285th in the women's 400, and in the overall women's ranking, 3,708th worldwide. Ms. Adderley is ranked 655th in the 400, and 7,583 worldwide. Now, it boils back to my point. My point is, if you're going to add Miss Adderley, do not upset the apple cart by removing Miss Cooper. Remove an entity that is not going to be on the track, does not bring anything to the team, as far as management, technical, coaching, medical, as far as doctors. If they're not part of that entourage, and they're there because, you know, they're getting the hookup, like we've seen so many times, eliminate that dead weight.
If Noel felt strongly about it, he could have removed himself and give her a spot. But again, you cannot give five a spot if you don't give four.
And listen,
I blame the president of the B3OC who started this talk over a week ago.
Are you referring to Mr. Archer?
Yes, he should not have anything to say, saying that Shania didn't make the team, she didn't this, she didn't that, and then that started the whole ball of wax.
Well, I reached out to him today. He said that they would be making a press release, and I've heard nothing back from them. I also reached out to Mr. Knowles late in the day, but I know Fish, and I know Fish will hit me back at some point later on.
But here's my thing. The fact that he says that his daughter or whatever else, right, should disqualify him from having any say. I'm not saying that he has been bad for the sport or he hasn't done a good job, okay? But here's the thing. And I'll use a health scenario. What he essentially did was he admitted on tape to malpractice. If he was a physician, right? What he just said was malpractice. It doesn't negate the fact that you did 1,000 other good surgeries. But if you screw up on this one surgery and you're on the record saying that you did something wrong, there has to be a penalty for that. Okay?
But my question to is, he doesn't have the last say. It's a whole committee. So I don't know if that little saying he said had anything to do with the overall.
The fact that you admit that was a factor in your input into the decision.
Okay, all right.
Okay? Removes you now from being credible. That's what I'm saying. All right? And the fact of the matter is that you cannot tell, there's no possible way that you take number five and remove number three and four. All right? You can take five. Right, but my thing is, if you take five, you got to take four.
Okay, and don't remove three. To
and
take
three,
five.
Three shouldn't have been touched from day one. I don't know none of these girls and none of their families. I'm looking at this as a behemoth who understands that first. If we can't be fair, then if we can't be fair, can't afford to be right.
Right.
Okay.
Now, and you know, you got a lot of people out there saying, "Well, oh, the athletes should stand up for one another, and the athletes should make some noise. Things would be different." If you just witnessed number three get cut for number five, do you really think you're going to be vocal about it, seeing somebody was vocal about that already?
No, because number two might get cut. Number one might be on the chopping block.
Correct, because we know that victimization in politics wears its ugly head in every
This is an embarrassment.
Avenue and arena in this country, this including sports.
Yeah, this is an your big story about sending people to the Olympics should not be this.
No, your big story should be, why is it a problem not sending both of these? And the number four runner as well, too.
Should be how many medals we think we can win. Shouldn't be this conversation. Yeah. We should not be in that conversation.
Yeah, right? And this is a simple solution. Cut the fat off these entourages that go on all these overseas trips. Somebody who is looking forward to going to Gay Paris need to stay home and not go to see Paris.
Naughty. It lends to a discussion on the greater social ills. You are a parent. Your 13-year-old is going to tell you what to do on your job? On your job, right? What a 13-year-old needs to understand is the world don't revolve around you and your little friends. And you could, and listen, ain't no 13-year-old could come and tell me, but if this girl don't get on the team, me and my friends ain't running track no more. You'd be running track every day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. if you was living in my house, okay? But at the end of the day, we want our parents to let these kids dictate what's happening, and it's causing a problem not just in sports, but all the way down. Sports is supposed to be a place where merit and merit alone dictates your achievements.
In this statement, somebody say, call them and tell them, don't bring sock up in this. His children go to his daughter, go to QC, talk with them QC athletes. Don't get sock in this because they ain't know what sock students done.
Well, hold on. I mean, if we want to go there, just for clarity's sake, and like I said, he is a friend of the show. Hold on one second. Here's Mr. Rose from the Bahamas Olympic Committee addressing our news in regard to the team selection and the process behind it.
Understanding
the Bible is in the BOC, or that I had to include it all. She said,
Daddy, you was having a conversation. Is
Shania
going or not? And I said, I don't know, Ashley. And she said, well,
hold on. Oh, my big finger. Next, hold on one second. Let me finish it for you right here.
It was a very emotional story. He told us his 13-year-old told him that if Shania wasn't on the team, she would not run track anymore.
She was there that night. I had along with all of her schoolmates from QC, and I suspect their friends from SAC and all over the Bahamas, all over the province. And they went there to watch the real relay because they declare Blue Sky not understanding what my role is in the BOC or that I had been included at all. She said, Daddy, you was having a conversation. Is Shania going or not? And I said, I don't know, Ashley. And she said, well, if they don't take a Shania to the Olympics, Daddy, me and my friends, we quit the track.
There you have it. Now, I mean, that's good. That's a component. That's good to know about how young people feel about the situation, but that should not be the determining factor.
You know what he said?
In the selection process.
He said, not knowing my role. That's your opportunity to educate her about what the role is.
Right. So
okay?
We won't have this gray area.
But again, you know, I don't know, man. It's horrible for me. I looked at some of the videos with Miss Cooper, all right, and listened to some of the things that I said, and it's just so aggravating that a young Bahamian could do the work and then be told that your work is irrelevant, that your popularity is what's important. It's the Kim Kardashian effect, right? It's better to be popular for nothing than to be good at something. And that's not right. That's not right. And now you forever link these two girls in some sort of mess because the adults won't adult.
Purdy, you got anything on that?
No, he said it all.
I mean, Doc, you said it right there. Like, you know, I mean.
He said what I was thinking.
So at the end of the day, we have to use this. Moving forward, we can't revisit this kind of selection process again, and the factors to determine who got selected can't be these.
No. Whoever's on that committee, unless there's somebody who's made a documented minority report and said, I didn't agree with X, Y, Z, if you sign on to this consensus foolishness, you don't need to be involved in picking our Olympic teams no more. Because it's almost intrinsically un-Bahamian to reward somebody for something that they're not supposed to have. All right? It's aggravating. It really is. It really is. And we have to do a better, we have to be better than that. You know, we're not some country who goes to the Olympics and just participates and never wins nothing. We are the most powerful producer of Olympic and sports achievements in the world. When you look at our population and you look at what we produce, okay? We need to stand on that. We need to stand on that. And you know, 13-year-old could tell you what her friends gonna do or ain't gonna do. That's crazy. That's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, that's what sometimes is said. You know, the qualifying standards is what should determine who makes the team, not the whims or the feelings of someone's daughter.
And the entire committee should resign.
We have systems in place to deal with. Absolutely no sense to try go around, you know, doing this the way they're doing it.
Chief, you call for them to resign, but it ain't happen until after the Olympics. You think they make their trip first?
Listen, I would cut all their funding for them. Seriously, I'd cut every last one in the funding for them. It wouldn't happen because you know they ain't spending their own money.
They probably already collect all the checks, so you know you cut the next year.
So if you take into, you know, all the components to this, and at the end of the day, if you're going to send the number five, you don't cut number three to send number five.
No.
That don't make sense. That's like giving up 100% of an entity for 40% of a new entity, and no, it just don't make sense.
You want to see this really get bad? Don't let her run well when she gets there.
Well, I mean, the problem is if she goes in and she... I mean, she,
yeah, but probably
she knows the time, she might not even run.
This is as much to do about nothing, in my opinion, because I'll tell you this right now. Made the B finals to qualify for the Olympics, which means basically they're not even going to medal. They're going to run after the eight that run for a medal run.
No.
In the eight finals.
They're going to go through all the heats and the preliminaries in the race. They're not going to, it's not a B. That's the B finals for the world relays. That isn't the B finals for the Olympics. There's no such thing as that. It's one race. So they all will get an opportunity to run in that one race. And they will go through the heats and make it to the semifinals and make it to the finals if they do that.
So
if not, they'll be able to get the medal.
So, Purdy, you're telling me now that there's not an Olympic A and B standard?
No. There's Olympic A and B qualifying standard. But once you're there, you're there.
All right, Texas just signed in. No naughty check, Burley. There are eight better teams. There are eight more teams that, from a qualifying standpoint alone.
Yes, at the World Relays, but that don't necessarily mean they can be the eight best team at the Olympics. Anything can happen.
All right. I can do some research on this, though.
You know, call out. You can always talk to our in-house expert, Mr. Sheldon Longley, and he'll guide you, and I'll stand corrected if he tells me I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, what if I put the information? You wouldn't take it from me?
That's fine. I'll take it from you as well.
But you want to take it from Sheldon?
No, I just know that Sheldon, just for ease of reference, Sheldon is actively involved with IAAF as covered track and field when no one has spotted
him. Yes.
So he can get the ease of reference, not so you don't have to work those fingers so hard.
Well, we'll find that out. But at the end of the day, though, my whole thing is you cannot sacrifice one or two athletes for a feel-good story.
And I agreed with you. I agreed with you 100%.
And I think this could be handled where you send the number three and you send four and five earning experience. If they get to participate in one round, fine. If not, they still get to train. They still get to go there. If there's an injury, they make the replacement. But they're young and they get the experience and they build on it because they're in the pipeline. And now your future replacement for Sean A.
So you do that for one event. And what happens to the third, the fourth, and fifth?
Well, obviously, you know, that for
this one.
There's the counterworms. I'm saying in this specific instance, Doc, how to remedy this, that would be my suggestion. No. In the future, don't put yourself in this kind of position to have this problem.
Nutty. The young lady, Shania, never made a statement, but she had to go. This started because an adult last week who should have kept his mouth shut, got up and said some stuff.
Right.
Okay? That's how it started. Okay?
Yes.
The adults are being irresponsible here. All right? And I don't care who hears me. This disqualifies them from being in charge. When you have a scenario where you're telling young people, right, that your actual result, that the credible thing that you have done is irrelevant, that what needs to happen is you need to have enough social media behind you. And this PL, this MP or this senator or this one or that one behind you, that's what's important for you to move ahead and progress. You're sending the wrong message and you're using our Bahamian taxpayers' dollars to do it. It's wrong. Then the entire, every adult involved in making this decision, as far as I'm concerned, you've disqualified yourself from any leadership. It don't make no difference. Sports got to be the last place where the score is the score. Because we already see the elections, ain't it?
Right.
Or you just jump up and say it's rigged. You know, and the same thing we talked about in the last thing. People look and say, well, we don't care what degree you have. You don't know more than I know because I got Google. Right? And this is the problem we have. Sports needs to be where your performance is your performance. End of story.
I agree. 100%. Couldn't say it any better.
And if you got a kid, you know, that's averaging 20 and 7, and the numbers don't lie, then the kid who's averaging 20 and 7 should be on that team. Not the kid who's averaging 12 and 3, because 12 and 3's family member got some sort of hookup or some sort of connection or some sort of... Yeah. We've seen too many of that on too many teams.
He's going to
mention it. He's going to mention it. Yeah. He's going to mention it. Watch. He's going to mention it, Big Chief. Go ahead, Naughty. Mention it.
No, yeah. I can mention it. He can mention it. This is the Brawny effect. I can mention it.
You can mention it. Yeah, yeah.
Okay, this is the Bahamas Brawny effect.
Brody, I wasn't even going there. I was just speaking on the amount of times I've seen it right happen right here in the 242.
Right. Right. Listen. Point. And it don't just happen in sports. If you ain't from this family, if your last name and this, if you ain't connected, if you don't go to this church or that, whatever, so and so, you from a different community, they look at you like you ain't supposed to be here. We need to stop that. We need to stop that. All right? And Miss, but listen, these children built different. Because if it was me, and you tell me I made the team, bumping me for somebody else, buddy boy, you gonna have to walk around with security detail in this country, because I wasn't gonna let it happen. I can tell you off the bat. That's just me. Now I was a hothead kid. I was different. That's why my daddy was like, you can't go to college till we at 16. You go right to COB and mellow out, because it wasn't gonna happen.
Calm down a little bit. But listen, that's the point.
You know, these are real people we're dealing with.
Both athletes. I feel for the scrutiny that Chennai is going to go through by people, you know, because of what happened, which is not of her fault.
It's not her fault.
I also feel for the young lady that's not going to make the team. It is just not fair, and I feel for her, and I, you know,
I go back to what I said. This started not because Chennai or even her family, because an official couldn't keep his mouth shut.
Yep.
Last week.
Should have said no comment. Should have said the news, no comment. We'll wait for the team to be announced.
End of story.
Off the text lines. Naughty, this is why the Heyman coaches in the U.S. don't come back home and mix with the Olympic Committee, neither the BAAA. Too much silly politics.
I can vouch for that. I know a couple. They won't touch this. They won't touch it. You know?
Got to get it right at some point in life.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, if you're going to do it right, Purdy. My point exactly. Do it right. Set the standard so we don't have to revisit this foolishness no more. It's abundantly clear. The top three qualifiers qualify.
End of story.
And that's it.
End of story.
And stop being excited to have every time you see a microphone put in your face, you want to talk. You got to be able to say sometimes, no comment.
And when members of the media reach out to you, and you say you cannot give comment until you put out a certain press release, then put out the press release and make sure I get it to who you said you're going to get it to, and then offer the comment.
No, but they're trying to dress
it
up.
But I think they're just going to put that press release out, and that's going to be the statement, and nothing else is going
to
come out of it.
They're trying to find a way to put lipstick on this pig. That's what it is.
Man,
listen. They'll put the statement out late tonight so you can't really get to them, and hopefully by tomorrow something else will take charge.
That's just not right. Not what we should be building as a country. It's a horrible taste. And again, it's not the young people. Listen, that 13-year-old can say that to her father all you want. That would have never gone nowhere. But you can't take those sort of considerations and then talk about what you can do and what you ain't gonna do.
All right, let me get this one in. And Purdy, you on tomorrow, right? You go for tomorrow, right?
With God's good grace, yes.
All right, Doc, I appreciate you stopping by as always, man. Always, and offering your candid commentary on so many topics. And enlightening on, you know, on some of the things that we may have missed. Here comes the text. Naughty, I get off work at 5 p.m. now, and the good part of the show is be over by then. So it's time to switch it up and talk sports at 4 p.m. Thanks. All right, what I need you to is send the email to management@guardianradio.com and send it right there and tell them, okay? And I can keep doing me until my boss tells me to do different. Now, if you want me to tell your boss to let you off early, then
you can put the Guardian app on there.
You just need four to seven, man. You need 4 to 7.
Listen to what Purdy say, text. So put your Guardian app on your phone and listen to GuardianTalkRadio.com all the time, and you're good to go.
Boy, put your air plug in your air and listen to it.
And if you ain't high tech like that, start taking your lunch break at 4, and you know you ain't gotta come back to work no more till the next day. There you go, and we'll see you tomorrow right here on Talking Heads. Don't touch it.
For fast reliable and impactful printing services, look no further. Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
We're gonna beat for a year!
Percy Pentagon, Island Game, keep you winning. Percy Pentagon, dream big, we will help you live it. Percy Pentagon, Island Game, we got you. Percy Pentagon, from the friends you can trust, if winning is a must. Go play the game you know, cause your best chance is with us. The most trustworthy name is Percy's Island Game. So put 20 on your account and ride this easy train at Percy's Island Game.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
Parents, it's that sweet time of year again.
Okay.
The kids are going back to school. So pick up your copy of the Nassau Guardian's Back to School Supplement, because
it's the most wonderful time of the year.
Put your students in the latest styles at the lowest prices, because summer break is almost over and our Back to School Supplement is filled with brand name back to school supplies at discounted patient hours and contact details.
It's the happiest season of all.
Advertisers, call the Nassau Guardian today at 302-2300 or call your account executive to get in on the two insertion deal. If it's uniforms, shoes, books, backpacks, calculators, art supplies, laptops, tablets, or whatever is on your back-to-school supply list, your ad should be in the Nassau Guardian's back-to-school supplement.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Nassau, Bahamas.